Proverbs, the 14th chapter. Proverbs,
well,
the 14th
good evening.
Started this morning.
It is good to see everyone here tonight. It has been such a wonderful week for me to be here and to spend time with so many of you and be able to get to know you better and just be able to spend time with this great group of God's people here. And I appreciate so much the elders for the way that they've taken care of me and the way that they have helped me and encouraged me. You have such a great godly
Deer Park, Texas, which is just outside of Houston.
They have been so good to me, and to be able to stay with the Pope. They have taken care of me more than I could ever begin to deserve.
With a degree
and I appreciate that about them and the way they've provided for me.
And so it's good to see you.
And I'm glad that we can come together. We can worship God in the way that He has prescribed to us, to sing songs and praises to Him, to open up His Word, and to learn more about the lives He wants us to live.
And
so I would encourage you tonight, if you will, to be turning to John chapter 13 with
very
me.
Interested in preaching
John chapter 13, that will be the basis for our lesson tonight.
And I've been very impressed with it.
Well, there was a book that was published in 1978 by a man named John Stott. And the book was titled Christian Counselors. And although I've never read the book, I really like that title because I think it sums up in essence how our lives as Christians are to be lived. That many times our lives are countered.
Just within the last year, there have been changes that have taken place in our country.
To a different beast.
I don't think
we see that by a lot of ways. The ways, the words that we choose to speak, we would speak things that are fitly spoken, like apples of gold and settings of silver,
writer of Proverbs,
or the way that we treat one
another. The way that we treat one
another. The way that we see godliness and purity, that we are set apart. I want you to notice tonight as we look at this passage in John 13, that there's another aspect. It's the way that we serve. The world would see service as really a one-way street most of the time, where it's all about me, what people can do to serve.
Lessening
as Christians,
the bond,
we know that we've been created not to be served, but to serve.
Every child just grew
picking
up
Jesus
family
gave his
with
life.
Father and mother to be
and so notice what we can learn about the example that we see here tonight.
Job, this whole time,
John 13,
verse 1.
Says, now it was the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. During supper, when the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments and, taking a towel, he tied it around his waist. And then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, do you wash my feet? Jesus answered him, what I am doing,
God
starts
off by asking
Job, but after all, you will understand. Peter said to him, you shall never wash my feet.
And he's continuing that.
Jesus answered him, because if I do not wash you, you have no share with me. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said to him, the one who is not bathed does not need to wash. The one who is bathed does not need to wash, except for his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, for not every one of
them.
For he knew who was to betray him.
Probably
and that was why he said not all of
them. Country in the world.
When he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, do you understand what I have done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right. So I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet.
I don't know that that could be
for I've given you an example that you also should do. Just as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sends him. If you know these things,
they don't.
Blessed are you.
Laws that operate in the universe.
And I think a lot of times,
so Jesus set forth an example of what it means to serve. Not necessarily that we would wash one another's feet, but that we would follow
righteousness exalts a nation.
So
but
many
sin
times, look at our text
is a disgrace to
there are three lessons Jesus teaches us.
There are spiritual laws
about what living a life
is
just like
everything,
is
in everything we do.
Sadly,
and the first one I want to share with you tonight is that
said,
the service requires
that
our hearts. It's not enough just to go
down
to put
the
on
the glass,
or just to do it over and
over
again. But our hearts
must
be involved.
There are laws that we understand that exist in our country.
Where he knew that his hour had come to depart out of the world, having loved his own people. He loved them up to the end.
If I was able to get through without having a wreck, I would just stop and let the police,
but it was
and they would
truly
arrest
a
me for
endangering
lives
of God's
people by operating my
lives from compassion.
Who has given
it
birth?
Water becomes hard like stone.
So as
Jesus operated the universe too,
and
righteousness exalts a nation. But sin is a disgrace to any people.
If you remember in Matthew chapter 2,
no matter what,
the ordinance of heaven.
When election winds up producing in 2016,
and so what is the first
he's talking here,
no matter what,
about this in class,
Jesus said, you shall
financial recovery
you
may be able to have in the next few years.
And the second is like
I think what is most important about our
here.
Country is
how much will
Jesus
hold that man
involved.
And I made the point about
again,
you know,
it's
it was a
little
bit of love God
always had
his neighbor as himself.
Grass seed never grows in my bag.
I'm 60 years old.
I don't know why, but the blessing never grows in my bag. But if I take it out of my bag,
he's done
it better on dirt
than the one that I was
certainly our service.
Now why does it grow in my bag?
We ought to be always
need to understand the seriousness
because God doesn't want it to grow in the bag. Isn't that funny? Every time
it started out on a downer.
Anyway,
note.
You throw it down.
I do
want to
let you know there are some
usually
things.
It needs to be around 60 degrees or so.
They don't
but usually
treat us the same
it'll come up.
In
I've had a lot come up here recently.
The fifth chapter
so
of the book of Matthew
comes up even better.
To each other.
There is a part
I know it does.
That Jesus
I guess
talks about. His people being able to have
who made it to where the grass does not sprout in 50
in the way that the universe operates.
It sprouts when I take it out of the bag.
Can wind up being helpful.
It doesn't sprout when I take it out of the bag and throw it on concrete.
Wind up
forsaking,
operating
in this
world.
They don't like
if for Judas Iscariot,
13
who would
chapter
betray
five,
him in the
book of Matthew, there Jesus praises the people that
he's talking
to.
The common
people
when she works at
of
Chick-fil-A
goes on
to dirt.
This time and says,
then it grows
you are the salt
done out of their pleasure. They always
talk about
tasteless.
We have the worst day, but
how
when you spread the word of God, what do you get?
But she told me about a man.
No longer good for anything.
Throw a corn
except
down,
he's thrown out
and, he came out,
and
he
trampled
very upset for some
under
reason.
The foot of
there's something
have you ever thrown a corn seed down
and go,
well, he's talking about salt there. He's not talking about salt in the way that you put it on your
maybe
food.
I
he's not.
Bathroom.
He wasn't
he's got,
did
we
dealing
with
salt that
and angry
was
to the point
why is it
where
iodized and crystallized. He was dealing with salt. Generally, that would be purchased in a salt block or a salt
he's going into detail here, but he's just saying, you know, all these cheeses
are two basic things.
Then he talks about the stars here.
We would probably, if we could be transported back to that particular time and place, we would probably be impressed with how relatively bland their diet was. It was seasoned by salt. Salt was considered a very valuable commodity, so much so that
the
Roman soldiers were paid partly in salt. We get our word salary from the fact that salt was something that was so valuable it was a tradable commodity in that day.
Service requires
and
you remember
but
what we saw with Jesus
a preserver,
in verses 2 through 5
and in the absence
to read back
of refrigeration
it says during supper
they
the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon
and other items that were
Jesus knowing that the Father had given all things to his hands
perishable.
He had come from
in
God
salt,
so back to God
see different because where the earth was
when Jesus
he
talks about
outer garments
as being the salt
taking
the earth he's not using it exactly the way that we use it sometimes we'll talk about you know that family doesn't salt
them with the towel that
they're,
was
they're just a great family. That's,
we see
that's
that
right.
All
Jesus
those
is meaning
stars,
that.
Millions,
he is
millions,
speaking
millions,
in a complimentary
millions,
way
millions,
about
millions,
the people of Galilee
task,
that he's addressing.
The God,
let me tell you, he's speaking
you
even more about that.
You know,
he's talking
more,
about these
have
people
so
having
stars, their feet would have been
the
dirty,
unique
dirty,
position,
I mean,
cosmic significance of being able to be people who flavor, who influence
was giving us a lesson, providing
the nature of
you can name a star.
We were going
going after to be somebody. Servants.
You and can to take call that a some step further in the other use of salt,
requires
we are a people, a star, and I think as we are ones that are also addressed by this message, we are people who have the responsibility to labor our country, our times, our world.
Every star we stood on.
But not just labor it.
Can you taste the consolation? Do you know the ordinance of heaven?
It's a challenge for us
today. Or fix the rule of the earth.
We have the ability, like salt does, to preserve meat, to be in a position to live in such a way.
Can you lift up your voice
to show people Christ living in us in a way so that the world and our country at least can be preserved for a time because of our influence on it.
Who can count the clouds of wisdom or tip the water to
the heavens?
His hour had come into a mass and the clods stick together.
Sometimes it's easy for us to say, well, you know, there's so few of us.
Or satisfy the appetite of young lions.
You know, here we were just a little over 300 here at the West End. What can we do?
You have to give his life as a ransom.
Foundations be destroyed. What can the righteous do?
You know, you just look at the amazing of
the
oceans, and you look at the skies, you look at the
clouds. We can do our best to flavor the world round about us so that the influence of Jesus Christ that salts us can be something that salinates the world round about us.
Reminded how many gigawatts
in our family, our community, our neighbors, our world.
One lightning strike would like,
Philippians chapter 2,
I could be wrong, but I think like one lightning strike would like run, we're like running bowling greens a day or something. I mean, there's so much power in one lightning strike.
Verses 3 through 8.
And he's dedicated.
Joker, can you take
heading town down the road to
the 2:3-8. It says,
you know what that is, lightning?
Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourself.
If we don't do our job,
let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also the interests of
the direction our country has taken.
Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not
as I told you, salt was obtained in that man.
In but he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant.
And it was
being
not
born in the likeness of man,
required
on
the coastline of the Dead Sea or in salt marshes that were close to the Mediterranean.
He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross.
You would have tradesmen come in and bring that into the marketplace. You know,
therefore, God has highly exalted him
and sold the name that is above every way.
You know,
it was not pure salt
that the name of Jesus,
we think
every
about
nation
it and as we use it
in
because,
heaven and on earth and
especially
under the earth,
that was required on the coastline of the Dead Sea and many other minerals
as
well.
The ability to
in fact,
learn,
the modern
the
Israelis have really lowered the sea, the shoreline of the Dead Sea by canning it off in different areas and allowing the sun to gradually evaporate some of the water in it, and then they take the minerals, including salt, that are in there, and they're able to refine and sell those minerals.
The lilies of the field.
That was generally the taste that people in the ancient world had to get used to when they had to salt. To salt their meat or their food, you had to have a little bit of a mineral taste to it.
And that being one of the most difficult and challenging times in her life where she needed.
But they would begin to notice the taste changing sometimes when even in a dry climate like Palestine, you would begin to have salt, which is very soluble in water and humidity, gradually begin to leach out of your salt block or your salt.
And he took time out of his day to come and just ask her how she was.
And the way that you began to notice that you didn't have as much salt in your clump or your salt block as you ought to have, because you began to notice that you had much more mineral taste in your food than you had salt. And you began to notice that the salt that you packed your meat in was not preserving that meat.
What happens to
in living a life of service?
And then it became salt.
We have a shortage of birds right now.
But I also say it. Number 3.
But the problem with that was even what to do with it.
Because I drive a lot.
When you have saltless salt or inadequately salted salt blocks, You couldn't take them and just spread them out over your land because why they didn't have enough salt to salt your vegetables. They didn't have enough salt to salt the ground.
The elders may have announced something of a need someone had.
And while you didn't have enough salt in it to be able to preserve the meat that you packed in it, it did have enough salt in it to salt your well.
You see deer baling hay?
So the only thing that it was fit for was to be taken out and thrown out and trampled under the foot of men. Put it out on the road and hope that enough people walked on it that eventually it would go away.
Talks about the example he left for
saltless salt was worse than using
this example that he they should do.
Let me tell you, saltless Christians are worse than useless.
In verse 6,
because they probably wind up doing more damage than they could ever do good. Because they are what God and the world count on to be able to be the flavoring agent of the world. And the preserving agent of it as well.
Do you observe the calving that we know? Can you count the months they fulfill, or do you know the time they give birth? They kneel down, they bring forth
God's decision about how long to allow this country to be viable as an independent country, depended on the salting of this congregation.
But I would also say, as we think about the city,
would it be able to be saved?
We all have different abilities.
The ability of us to act like Christ would have us to live, to think like God wants us to think.
You know, humans, we do a lot.
To be able to have those influences. Would we have any influence on our world? Would we have any preserving ability in that world?
Which I'm happy that we have doctors.
They say, Pope, you've really gone too far. You've made too much out of this illustration. Well, I really don't think so. Let's look at the 18th chapter of the book of Genesis for just a minute. And I want you to see the situation in which God has informed Abraham about the fact that Sodom and Gomorrah are going to be destroyed because they are so wicked. And Abraham's concerned because his nephew Lot lives there. And he's a
one last thing as we
so it says, as the men turned away, those are the angels that have come down with the Lord in human form to be able to visit with Abraham. He says they went toward Sodom while Abraham was still standing before the Lord. And Abraham came near and said, will you indeed sweep away the righteous with the wicked? Suppose there are 50 righteous within the city, will you indeed sweep it away and not spare the place for the sake of the 50 righteous who are
doing good?
Far be it from you to do such a thing, to slay the righteous with the wicked, so that the righteous and the wicked are treated alike. Far be it from you. Shall not the judge of the earth deal justly?
Certainly, it should be our desire.
So the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare the whole place. On their
I've ever seen a cow at a Lamaze
by taking time
and Abraham replied, now behold, I venture to speak to the Lord, although I am but dust and ashes. Suppose the 50 righteous are lacking five.
And then they know what to do. Who told the cow?
Will you destroy the whole city because of five?
Difficulties at
and he said, I'll not destroy it if I find 45 there.
God with them.
And he spoke to him yet again and said, suppose 40 are found there. And he said, I will not do it on account of the 40. Then he said, oh, may the Lord not be angry, and I shall speak. Suppose 30 are found there. And he says, I will not do it if I find 30 there.
How many months? Anybody know?
And he said, now behold, I ventured to speak to the Lord. Suppose 20 are found there. And he said, I will not destroy it on account of the 20.
Things that you
then he said, oh, may the Lord not be angry, and I shall speak only this one. Suppose 10
better servants.
How long was a horse?
He said, I'll not destroy it on account of the 10.
Serve with our hearts. Give it
when as soon as he had finished speaking to Abraham, the Lord departed.
Serve our fellow man.
And Abraham returned to his place.
And counting others more.
Why are there different times?
You tell that this wasn't Abraham's first
time.
He had traded camels before. And here he is very astutely negotiating with the Lord in terms of how few he can get by with. And he's got the Lord down to 10.
All that just evolved. One's 9 months, one's 11 months, one's 7 months.
But you know the rest of the story. The city of Sodom was destroyed because there were not 10.
Joe, who set all that up?
Tonight to obey the gospel, Joe, be baptized into Christ.
But isn't it amazing to realize that as wicked as Sodom was, the Lord would have saved it if he could have found 10 righteous.
Will the wild ox consent to serve you, or will he spend the night at your manger?
Makes decisions about the rise and fall of nations based on the godliness of people who live there.
I've never had a wild ox, but I got a wild cow. Well, I got a pet cow.
Let me tell you, brethren, if we are the salt of the earth, if we are the salt that is preserving America, how long is America going to be preserved by the influence that we are exerting in our communities and our world?
Well, she won't let me just walk up to her and give her a shot. I mean, she weighs probably.
Say the Lord said, "I'll
she's not
save
gentle.
America if I can find 300 righteous."
I came up with this idea.
We'd be sufficiently righteous to be able to be that preserving influence on our country.
So she came in there, shut the gate on her, so she couldn't get out. Well, then I still couldn't give her a shot because she kept moving. I couldn't squirt the stuff in her eyes. So I came up with this idea. I'm gonna get a rope.
That's why it's important that you read your Bible so that you know how God thinks. And when God
so I tied the rope around her neck and I tied it off to a four-by-four.
That's why it's important that you pray to the Lord and you pray for your president and you pray for your country.
Well, I finally got the shot and squirted the stuff in her eyes.
You pray for yourself and your family and this church.
And she got
and its elders and its preachers.
That was a crazy scene. That's a tame
animal. So that we may all be able to continue to teach the right thing and stand for the truth and flavor any group of people round about us.
And I'm just seeing this. Can you do this with ropes? Or will he herald the valley after you? Will you trust him because the strength is great and leave him in labor? Will you have faith in him that he will return to your grain and gather from threshing floor?
America
and
for just
the
amount of people that are
in verse 13 talks about the ostrich. The ostrich wings flap joyously with
that way. Would he be able to find
for she abandons her eggs to the earth and warms them in the dust, and she forgets that a foot may crush them or the wild beast may trample them. She treats her young cruelly as if they were not hers. Though her labor be in vain,
the Lord was willing at one time to save Sodom for 10 people, and they couldn't be found.
When she lifts herself on high, she laughs at the horse.
We need to be
rider.
People who understand that the Lord's decisions about what to
place
do
on
for
the
America
they lay their eggs.
Very well do boil down to what you do.
Probably not a good place.
And the decisions that you
field,
make.
To lay my eggs.
And the way that you think.
But they did.
And the way that you act.
You think there's an ostrich shortage right now?
Because you're the salt of the earth. But if you call yourself salt.
And I find it interesting how he goes through all
these
details.
And you have allowed yourself to become desalinated because of the world
and
round about us.
This was really cool. I never thought about it. I kind of thought about this 19 through 30.
Because
when I read this, I was like,
your brethren count on you.
Do you give the horse his might? Do you clothe his neck with a mane? Do you make him leap like locusts?
You're not doing
his
your
majestic
job
snorting is terrible.
As a preserving
he paws
agent
in the valley and rejoices in his strength. He goes out to meet the weapons. He laughs at
another
fear,
illustration
and is not
used
dismayed
there in Matthew
and he does
5,
not run, does not turn
where he
back
says in
the
verse
sword
14, "You are the light of the world."
The flashing spear and javelin.
Isn't that amazing?
With shaking
to think
and rage,
that these
he
people he's
the
describing are people
stand still
who,
like
if
the
they reflect the glory of
the
God,
sounds,
they
says,
can be people who illumine a dark world.
The battle from the offer. And the thunder of the captains.
City set on a
cry
hill cannot be
it
hid.
It is your understanding that the hawk.
Nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under
south
a basket,
it is
but on
the
lampstand.
And
it gives light to all who are in the house.
On the cliff,
let your light shine
rises
before men in such a way that they may see your good works.
Place. From there he spies
you glorify
out
your Father.
His eyes see it from afar.
Who is in
his head. Young ones also suck up blood.
Just like Christians
there he is
are salt
about
and
horse,
salt of the earth,
the
and therefore may be the very reason God lets the America, the United States of America, last.
Front lines here. You ever seen them huddle up and go, "Yeah, we're not going to go today. This looks a little too dangerous."
We may be the means by which
horses just go.
The people round about us are able to see the light of God through
that
reflection in us.
We train horses.
And we may be the very means by which a
horses
country that ever is growing darker with sin may be able to, from the reflected light of Christians, be able to see the way to God.
Creature that God made.
That's the illustration
being
used here.
We forget how powerful
let me tell you, a church that's reflecting the light
Amish
of God
can
be hidden.
They use Belgians. They like Perchins as well. Sometimes they like Perchin horses better than Belgians.
One of the best titles
they don't do Clydesdale
in the book
they
I've
eat
ever seen.
Clydesdale's a little bigger than a Belgian. Belgians ride under
a Manchester called
They plow all their fields. They disc all their fields. They log.
Let's face it.
My dad used to go out in the
electric light. That's basically the way the world was lit at night.
He had a Perchin horse. He dragged logs.
No different in Palestine.
Horses are very
powerful. They basically
powerful.
Got by at night with oil lamps. Olive oil was taken, put in lamps
that
were in their houses.
Did you make that? Did you make the horse?
I think probably the best thing I could compare it to with some of you who are a little bit older is a kerosene lantern that was able to be used to light up the house. Some of you may have been told by your parents to get that homework done during the daytime so that you didn't have to burn kerosene at night.
And what you can do with it.
To light up a house
in
Palestine in Jesus' day meant you were using olive oil that could be used for food, could be used for grooming, could be used for medicine, but you were using it for light, and therefore it wasn't used without giving a great deal of thought to
it. It can just swoop down and
so therefore when you lit a lamp, you didn't hide it under a
I went up in a Cessna one time, and we were probably flying at about
that's just wasteful. It'll eventually make the fire go out, and it obviously makes it to where it's not visible. Why would you burn and waste olive oil that could be used fruitfully in other places?
But the commercial guy, you're not looking for the airport because you know that guy knows where the airport is.
You need
it. I was sitting by the guy beside me, just me and him. So, and we're trying to fly back
in.
We
live in a country that needs to be enlightened by the word of God and the power of the gospel message.
I don't think they have.
And it's not going to hear it from the government. It's not going to hear it from the schools. It's not going to hear it on TV. It's not going to hear it in the movies or the radio. It's only going to hear it from us. It's not even going to hear it from the denominations because they take the gospel and they mix it with sweets and bitters to their taste.
It's amazing imagery. That he's putting
let
out
me tell
there.
You,
he's
the gospel,
Joel,
when
Joel,
it is diluted
so
or when it is added to, ceases to be the gospel.
Talk to me about justice and good and bad, and your
so the pure, unadulterated gospel
me
is only going to be
you
taught
come equal
by
with
those
me?
Of us who
you
are
you
New
tell
Testament
me about all
Christians.
These other things, Job, and when you can, then we can be.
What are we doing?
So here in verse chapter 4,
are we putting our lamp under
five,
a basket?
The Lord said to Job, "Will the fault finder continue
are we putting
with
it on
the
a lampstand?" So that even better than putting it on a table where it can only light 180 degrees,
we
put it on a lampstand so it can light 360 degrees.
Job was finding fault.
So that it gets
about his
best
life and about
use
how he
out of the olive oil that we are using to be able
punished,
to cause
and
that
falsely
light.
Treated.
And it enlightens
and
everyone
to talk to
within
God,
the house.
That he would straighten it up. I mean, so he says here,
therefore,
will
you know what God's
Almighty,
people are told
finder?
To do?
Let him
your
reprove
light
God.
Shine
answer it.
In such a way
well,
so
respond?
That they may see your good works and
then Job answered the Lord and
Father,
said, behold, I am insignificant. What
everybody
I
in this world is not interested, as odd
once
as this sounds,
spoken,
everybody in the world is not interested in going to heaven unless they could go on their terms, and nobody's going
Job
on any terms but God's
that he's
terms.
Not even in the same anything.
But do you know
he's
if we shine the light,
so insignificant to God.
We reflect
he
the
is.
Light of
he
God,
can't even talk to
we
God.
Expose the light of the gospel,
and I think that's pretty amazing.
There are going to be some people who want to walk in the light, and they are attracted to it no matter how dark things are around about
him where he was at. And so he feels like he's insignificant.
But if we don't do our job because we've hidden our light under
are we insignificant to God?
Or we've let our light go out.
We're just the opposite. We are not.
We become part of
the God who created all the things we just talked about.
Of
the
nation
the light
that's
and the
turning
sun
away
and the moon
from God
and the earth
and the,
that's the universe and all the seasons and all the
what can you
constellations
do
and how animals are born.
There'll be a lot of people
that
tell you you need to get out and vote. That'll help
it's
your
so
country.
Amazing,
well,
so much bigger
I'm not
than
trying
us.
To discourage
so
you from
greater
voting.
Than anything we could ever imagine.
But I want you to recognize that whoever gets elected, our country as a whole is irredeemable.
Matthew 10:29-31.
But the people within
are not two sparrows sold for a cent?
Are completely
and yet not,
redeemable
not
as long as there is life, there is hope.
Isn't that amazing? Sparrows flying. We see, we'll look up in the sky and there'll be thousands of birds.
Looking for is the God knows every time one of those Christians.
Think about
and the reflected light of the gospel through Christians.
And he said, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So do not fear. You're more valuable than any sparrows.
Some people who want radical change in our country may be disappointed because that change I've described when Christians are flavorful and when Christians shine.
I don't know that I've ever seen anybody do that. Why?
They seem to be slow and deliberate change. But that's the only kind of change that the Lord gives us the opportunity to be involved in. But he lets us know in this particular passage that we are uniquely and specially and profoundly involved.
The God who created and did all those things that he just laid out.
In the preservation and the enlightenment of our country and of our world.
Are in your head. Now you don't tell me that's amazing.
I suppose that the Lord would save America for just 300 people.
He knows the very number of hairs.
Could he count on us?
That has to.
Or would we show our lack of patriotism?
Make you realize how special
and our lack of spirituality.
Each and every one of us, he knows.
By becoming tasteless salt and darkness instead of light.
Ephesians 5, 1 through 2. Therefore be imitators of God as we love children and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice of God as a fragrant aroma. Not only is this God who created all the things he just laid out to Job, not only is this God who knows every time a bird hits the ground, not only is this God who created all the birds, all the animals, everything, created each and every one of us, who made us in his image, who can count the very hairs on your head, sent his son, the creator. Jesus says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He came and let the very creation that he created sacrifice and kill the son so that we could be holy again. And that we could spend eternity with him in heaven. Do you think you're significant? Job almost missed it again. I'm insignificant. No, you're just the opposite of that. You're very significant. You're very important. You're very special to God. And this is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. He loves us so very, very much. He loved Job. He loves each and every one of us individually. Despite the trial that we may be going through, despite the hard times that we may be happening, despite the difficult things that are going on, despite how lonely you may feel, despite how you may think you're the only one and you're all alone, God loves you. And you're important to him. And you're special to him. And he can help you. Any questions or comments? Brad.
About that. We know that we need God. We know that. And we think about that. And we're so deficient in seeking him. But God needs us. Why? You know, I thought about this while you're talking. We sing the song, The World's Bible. Who's God's hands? Who's his mouth? Who's going to do his work? He's got to have us. That's valuable.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Extremely special in so many different ways to God. And teaching and preaching, setting the example, spreading the word so that others can be saved. Very, very important. Any other questions or comments? I think this is a very, very important section. And I'm glad God laid out the way he did, because when you get the visual, he throws out the big picture, but then he brings it back home to how important each and every one of us are to him. And I think that's is just amazing here. Chapter 40, 6 through 14. Then the Lord answered Job out of the storm and said, now gird up your loins like a man. I will ask you, and you will instruct me. I will stop there. He started 38 the same way when he started talking to Job. He's not done with Job yet. He's not done with him. Even though Job says, okay, I get it. He's like, no. I'm gonna make sure you get this. I got a few more things I want to tell you. So take it like a man, Job. Verse 8, will you really annul my judgments? Will you condemn me that you may be justified? Or do you have an arm like God? And can you thunder with a voice like his? Adorn yourself with eminence and dignity, and clothe yourself with honor and majesty. Pour out over the flowing of your anger, and look on everyone who is proud and make him low. Look on everyone who is proud and humble him, and tread down the wicked where they stand. Hide them in the dust together. Bind them in a hidden place. Then I will also confess to you that your own right hand can save you. So he starts off here, and this is a pretty awesome text here. He starts off, says, you know, you take this like a man, and then he says, will you annul my judgments? Will you condemn me that you may be justified? Do we condemn God so that we can be justified? Do people of this world condemn God so that they can be justified? How could you, what's one way you could condemn God? So you can be justified. What's one way? Do what? Blame him for what's happened. All right? Is there another one? Reject his word. Oh, that Bible stuff, that's just made up stories. Who's God? Why? Because then I can do what I want to. I'm going to condemn his word and him so I can justify my actions and I can do what I want to. If I want to sin and I want to act like the world and I want to do anything I want to do, what's the first thing I got to get rid of? I got to get rid of God. Because if I believe in God and I believe in the word of God and I believe that that's what God has instructed me and said, wait a second. How can I then go out and do everything that I think is of the world, sinful life and every fleshly pleasure? How can I go out and do that? It's kind of hard to. It's kind of hard to justify if you are a Christian and you believe this is from God. He continues, or do you have the arm like God and can you thunder with his voice? Adorn yourself with eminence and dignity. He continues to say, hey, Job, all right, you act like me. Is your arm strong enough to do all this? Well, then you go out and you take my place. It reminded me of the movie. Maybe it's a bad movie, and I apologize if it is, but Bruce Almighty. I think it's Bruce Almighty, but it's a good imagery where he tries to be God for a day or 2 days or whatever in the movie. And there's a lot of kind of interesting things that you think about there. Like one, when people are praying, he's getting like millions of prayers at a time. And I thought that was a good scene to think about how many millions of prayers that are lifted up to God. Who in here would want to be God for a day? One day. Who in here would want to be judge of the world? He's asking Job here, won't you just take my job? Who wants to do that? Let's be honest.
Yeah, there are sometimes I want to be Gerald, but I only want to be God over my little part, you know. I don't want, you know, when you think about it, and I'm being honest about that, and I know that's not real, and that's not, but it's the same thing a few class periods back when I said, you know, when somebody passes you in there and you want the hand of God to fire a lightning bolt at them. That's human wisdom, and that's just so foolish. But sometimes we're like that.
Yeah. Yeah, how many millions of prayer requests does God get a day? How many, you know, there's, what, almost 7 billion, 6.5 billion people in the world. I don't know how many of them pray. I don't know how many. I don't know how all that works. It just overwhelms me to begin to think about it. And making sure everything works out through the world, and having to judge people and be righteous in the judgment, and how to do, I mean, that humbles me even thinking about it. And knowing how to handle every situation for every person every time, especially a God that loves everybody and wants everybody to come home with Him. You see, He's sitting there wanting everybody to come home to Him, and yet He has to judge them. Man, that must be tough. You know, it's tough, you know, discipline your child. And so it's so tough that a lot of parents don't discipline their children. And yet God has to. And God does. I don't want the job. Oh yeah, there are moments that I think I want the job. But if I'm really thinking about it, and I'm thinking about how big that is, and how big all the other things that He talked about that He has to do on a day-to-day basis, of keeping the world going and everything happening, and then the judging of all the people. He's telling Job here, yeah, if you think you're powerful enough, you talk about judgment, how about you become me for a day? He didn't say a day. He just said, won't you go around and take care of it? Do what I do, Job. Go ahead. It's so beyond what we can imagine. It's so beyond our even begin to think. And yet sometimes we put ourselves equal with God, or we want to question God, or we want to be a part of that. And if it's the biggest thing that you learn from this book is that we're significant to God. We're not even close to His majesty or His might or who or what He is. And sometimes I know we complain about the Bible that, oh, I wish He'd have told us this, and I wish He'd have told us that, and I wish He'd have put this in there. God's way smarter than us. He gave us exactly what we needed. And He gave us the exact tools, the exact word, His intelligence is way beyond. What we have is exactly what we need. And He has so blessed us with so much. And I think it's just pretty amazing. You know, yeah, won't you be me, Job? No. I don't want that. 15, behold, and so let me stop there. So he kind of transitions now between the rest of this chapter and into chapter 41 about this is a beast that he talks about here. And behold now, Behemoth, which I made as well, he eats grass like an ox. Behold now, his strength in his lions, his power and muscles in his bellies. He bends his tail like cedar. The sinews of his thighs are knit together. His bones are tubes of bronze, and his limbs are bars of iron. That's somebody's rendition of what that may look like. This is some beast that he begins to talk about, and he's going to make two beasts here. And in 41, he'll finish talking about this beast and about how powerful it is. And it's just an amazing beast that he created. Now, Haley and some others think that this was a real beast, not an imaginary or things like in Revelation. I mean, this is an actual. I'm not real sure. I've never seen that beast before. So, verse 19: He is the first of the ways of God. Let his maker bring near his sword. Surely the mountains bring him food, and all the beasts of the field play there. Under the lotus plants he lies down. In the covert of reeds in the marsh. The lotus plants cover him with shade. The willows of the brook surround him. If a river wages, he is not alarmed. He is confident, though. The Jordan rushes in his mouth. Can anyone capture him when he is on watch? With barbs, can anyone pierce his nose? And this is another mighty creature that he's talking about here that was so great that he created. It's so powerful that nobody can capture it or do anything with it. You know, he's, you know, what can you do? And what's the big animal? I just forgot the name of it. That's in the water. Hippos. One of the ways that I read that you like capture hippos because they go underwater and they're so big is that you somehow pierce their nose so they have to breathe out of their mouth. And so when they come up to get air or they stay above, then you can capture them. They think the reference here about, hey, if you can just get the animal's nose and pierce it, can you capture it then? Can you get it up? And so he's talking about this amazing animal here, and he continues with the second of the beast here in 41, and then 42 will be the ending, will be the happy ending, and we'll have that, and we'll get that on Wednesday. Thank you so much, guys. I think it's been a great book, and it's been fun going through it with you. See y'all.